action. You got a reaction, didn't you? You took a wild orchid. You took a wild orchid and turned it blue.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Tim Rocky. This is the Radio Free Palmer Sports Senior Listening live on 89.5. It is October, which means that not only do we have playoff baseball, but we have World Series baseball. Thank the Lord. It is that wonderful, wonderful time of the year. And to dissect all the goings-on in the world of baseball on the diamond, if you will, I brought in one of my special correspondents. He's been on the show before. Did a fantastic job last time. Actually, I need to point out, last time Taylor was on the show, he came in and said, you know, I think that the Minnesota Twins are going to have themselves a decent season. And I was like, no, you're wrong. You don't know. But Taylor knows what he's talking about. He's pointing at himself right now. He's very pleased that he was right. He was, in fact, correct. My special guest, as you may have found out, is none other than Mr. Taylor Palmer. Taylor, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show again.
So, it's a little cold out there. It's a little late to be playing ball, you know, here in Alaska. But there is a wonderful game going on currently. It is tied 1-1 in the top of the sixth between the Houston Astros and Los Angeles Dodgers. Dallas Keuchel, who they're playing in a National League park, which other than interleague play is the only time that, and you know, the All-Star game is the only time that American League pitchers get to hit. And Keuchel is still out there pitching pretty well in the sixth. So AJ Hinch said, you know what, I'm going to let you swing the bat. And the Astros only have two hits on the day against Kershaw. It is not easy to, you know, get on base against a guy that good. But when Alex Bregman sends a home run to left in the fourth to tie it up, I guess that's what you got to work with. So who's your pick for the World Series, Taylor?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I cannot decide. I honestly can't. They're so evenly matched. The Astros came in with the best offense. Dodgers are coming in with an excellent offense and arguably the best pitching in the MLB. So you're really seeing right now is one of the best offenses versus one of the best pitching staffs in the MLB.
And not to discount Houston, because they have a guy, you know, Mr. Kate Upton, if you will, the famous Justin Verlander, who is still chucking it pretty hard at an old age. He's doing a great job bringing experience to that Houston rotation and some leadership toward the younger guys like Keuchel. And I think Major League Baseball really wanted to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series just so you could get that East Coast, West Coast, and there'd be a clear, you know, villain and hero in that the Yankees, putting together a young squad, were not expected to make the World Series as quickly as they did. they picked up a couple veterans. They got Rich Hill, I believe, was in there, and they also picked up Todd Frazier, who fit in wonderfully among the youth on the Yankees. But Astros, Dodgers just seem so evenly matched that it's going to be tough to figure out who's going to take the edge.
It did, and I think a lot of the reason that people would have really liked to see Dodgers and Yankees, including myself, is that those two teams followed such a similar arc during the season. Both came in very young, not expecting to have, you know, maybe World Series caliber years. You know, they have these staffs of, you know, fairly young and talented players mixed in with, you know, these savvy veterans, you know, like Adrian Gonzalez on the Dodgers, and, you know, the Yankees having, you know, guys like CeCe Sabathia. And both teams thrived in the first half of the season, and they both had their respective Rookie of the Year candidates just absolutely dominating offensively. Cody Bellinger.
39 home runs, which was a rookie record in the National League. He also hit 12 home runs off of left-handed pitching. He is one of only two left-handed bats in the lineup for the Dodgers tonight, and obviously he's shown that he can do it, and that's why he's out there.
He has against
the lefty Keuchel, who is very tough.
He has. He's proven himself. And both teams went into the All-Star break extremely hot, and then they came out the second half, and both teams slumped a little bit to start. Obviously, the Dodgers had that insane winning streak, but then they went very cold and lost, I think, 14 out of 15.
They're the only Major League team to win 16 out of 17 and lose 16 out of 17 in the same season.
Right, and the Yankees struggled similarly at the tail end, as did Aaron Judge, and Cody Bellinger has also, he also cooled down the second half of the season, but both came into the playoffs really, really wanting it. Really want it, and I think they would have been a really good match for those reasons. But we've got Astros Dodgers, and that's, you know, besides being a Yankees fan, Astros Dodgers is good in my books.
I don't know why I let you come on the show, even though you're a Yankees fan, but it, you know, must be the charity in me. But they had a little different roads to the World Series, but the Cleveland Indians were no slouch, and the Yankees dispatched them in five games. I've been saying on the show for a number of years, the team with the toughest road to the championship that gets through that hardship is going to be better for it and going to be more well prepared once they get into the championship round. I think Houston may have that edge, having to beat the Yankees, but the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks, who had done well against them all season, made quick work of them in the NLDS, and again, they're in the World Series after being one of the best teams in the league. These are the two best teams in the league, hands down. I guess Cleveland could have been considered one of the best teams in the league, but they fell to the Yankees. These are two very deserving teams in the World Series. Houston does not have a World Series championship, only their second appearance, I believe. And the Dodgers, the storied franchise of the Dodgers, started in Brooklyn, came to L.A. They have plenty of World Series championships. But none since, was it 88?
I think 88 was the last time they were in it. I don't remember if they won it or not.
The Kirk Gibson home run.
Yes.
I do believe they won that one. And that's another reason Yankees-Dodgers would have been so wonderful to see. The two-storied franchises, East Coast, West Coast, they both got a lot of championships and a lot of history. And it would have just brought the purists out of the woodwork to be happy about baseball again. And not, you know, whining over, why are the Astros in the American League? They're an NL Central team, and they should still be called the Colt 45s or whatever. I do hope they break out the throwback, the orange, blue, and white, the ugliest jersey in sports history.
Yeah, they were great. Like, they were great in the way that the movie The Room is great. Like, they're just a disaster, and you really can't look away.
So talk to me about your Yankees, Taylor. I'm going to, you know, put our differences aside, and I'm going to give you free rein. Yankees were young coming into the season. We did not know this guy Aaron Judge would be so good. Sanchez came into his own and became one of the better middle of the order hitters in the league. Greg Bird was good. You guys had young guys all over the place. Brett Gardner is kind of the old wise Derek Jeter of this group. He's like, nobody expected me to even be in the league this long, but here I am, one of the best players on one of the best teams. Tell me about what you expected from the Yankees and then how that happened through the regular season.
Yeah, first of all, Brett Gardner is my man. He is the best. I saw him play in Triple A, Scranton Wilkes-Barre, back in like, it was like 2007 or 2008. And the next day I got to see his debut at Yankee Stadium, and he has been by far my favorite player post Jeter. He is the man. But yeah, the Yankees had, they had an interesting season. You really got to see the growth of a lot of these players. Like, obviously Judge came in, like I said, super hot. Then after the All-Star break, after he won the home run derby by a landslide.
Not a lot of people win the home run derby and go on to have a successful second half of the season. That's almost always a curse on the second half of the season for a power hitter.
It is, and we definitely saw that happen again, because coming out of the All-Star break, he couldn't hit anything. He was back to his kind of his old ways, you know, in his short debut in the season prior, where he was striking out, swinging at a lot of bad pitches. He really struggled there. But it is an exciting time to be a Yankees fan. Holy smokes. They have just so many young guys that you can, they're bringing so much energy to the table, and they're a fun group to watch. You know, I don't know if anybody else has paid attention to the hijinks, you know, that occur in the dugout and out of the dugout, but they're just so fun to watch. They just bring such a new energy to this organization, who, quite honestly, the last couple of years has been kind of a stuffy organization filled with these veterans that have kind of just been, you know, diminishing their careers in New York.
This is not the New York Yankees teams with Alex Rodriguez and Mark Teixeira and Carlos Beltran and Gary Sheffield,
Lance Berkman,
a long time ago. Yeah. Guys who have big contracts and they want to continue playing ball at a high pay grade, but not necessarily a high pedigree of the baseball that they're putting out. And, you know, that's kind of where those careers went to die for the last couple of years was, well, the Yankees will pay me, so I'll go there, you know, shave my face or cut my hair or whatever and follow the Yankee way. And but that had not ended up as the sum of that parts was not that great for the last couple of years. But when you put together a bunch of young guys, you've got Gregorius, who was the hired hand to come in and be the heir apparent to Jeter, Addison Russell, the young pitching, Severino, Betances. You've got Chapman back in the bullpen. That's looking like a good club for the next 10 years, however long they can keep this group together. Now, the question is, they've got Tanaka, who had his rough patches during the season. They've got Sabathia, who is not getting any younger. The pitching has got to be addressed, but these guys only get better, and for next year, they're not going to surprise anybody. People are going to be looking out for the New York Yankees as the team to beat coming into April and the beginning of the season.
Right. I think the way this season has shaken out is going to turn out to be a blessing and a curse for next year, because, like you said, they're going to have a target on their back coming into the year. People are going to know what to expect from them. People know their strengths and weaknesses now, and other managers can adjust to that. On the other end of that, you have the fact that they went so far into the playoffs with such a young team. They basically went through a stress test and found their own weaknesses, which they can now address. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. That's the strategy he does, is he throws these chefs into extremely stressful situations and their weaknesses immediately come out. And that's kind of what the Yankees went through in this postseason. They had to throw everything they had at these teams and came so close. So they know exactly where their weaknesses lie now. And like you said, the aging starting pitching is going to have to be addressed going into next year, because Tanaka and CeCe probably still have a little bit left in the tank. Tanaka's got a couple good years left, but CeCe's getting up there, and they're gonna have to get some new guys in there soon.
It has been fun to watch the Yankees. We are going to kick it to some music for the time being, so we can consult with our stats department. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.5 FM.
get there, then I could enjoy. Who they trying to be, who they trying to fool? Let's change the mood right now. Turn down the lights, it's time to cool it down. If it don't matter to you, it don't matter to me. If it don't matter to you, it don't matter to me. Yesterday and what we could be, it don't matter. Getting more of what we don't need, it don't matter. Everything unless I'm with you, it doesn't matter to me, no. Bring it on down, bring it on down to me. Sing it on down for me. Sing it on down to me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. I'm Tim Rocky here with very special guest, Taylor Palmer in the studio. We're talking some baseball. That's what we do. We're going to talk some football real quick. The high school season culminated in a different fashion than I would have, than I predicted on this show. But we're going to get into the All-State team right here. Just the Valley guys, because I don't need to go through the entire team. All-State running back on just four games of work from Colony, John Pomerenke. This is first team, by the way. First team quarterback, Parker Kaiser from Colony. First team tackle from Colony, Jarrett Villastrego. First team defensive end, also Jarrett Villastrego. First team inside linebacker, Jake Hessinger. And first team defensive back, Julian McPhail. On the second team from Wasilla, there was Sean McDermott at running back. Aaron Milleron at quarterback, Michael Evans at guard from Wasilla, Caleb Reeves at tackle from Colony, and that is it for the Valley folks. So, this Friday, West and Bartlett square off, and I had predicted on the show a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, don't worry about West and Bartlett because East and Chugiak is who you're going to see in the championship game. That's guaranteed. That's, you know, definitely going to happen, and then it totally didn't happen. The Bartlett Golden Bears are your winners of the Division One Alaska High School Football Championship. Oh, and we have something that we need to talk to you about right now as I see Taylor making faces in the studio. Justin Turner, the Redbeard himself, has left the yard on a cutter from Dallas Keuchel. He hits a two-run home run, driving in Chris Taylor. So Taylor's got two runs already in the World Series, and it is not even six innings old. 3-1 lead for the Dodgers. So how big is winning game one, Taylor?
It's huge. I mean, getting that one game start is, I mean, it's huge. I don't know if I really have to elaborate on that,
but huge.
Starting off the series with a win, you can't, especially if you're the home team, you have to come away with that win.
Yeah.
You have to come away with that home win to lead off the series.
It's there was some ridiculous stat that I think it was 70% of teams that win game five tied 2-2 go on to win the series. And that's what happened with the Yankees in the ALCS, is they were on the 30% of that statistic. They won game five and then ended up losing game six and seven as the Astros came back. But to start off the World Series, you want to have the first game, especially at home. You don't want to lose anything at home and have to get those back in Houston. I'd argue that Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles is the tougher venue to play in than Houston. Houston's indoors. They've got the short Crawford boxes in left field with a lot of right-handed power hitters on the Dodgers team. Might be a little easier for them to leave the yard, but Chavez Ravine has such, and especially because it's so hot and so humid at this time of year, has such thick air that it's really difficult for hitters to leave the yard out of LA. And it's not something that happens all that often. It's kind of a pitcher's park in that way. But Justin Turner's red beard is more powerful than your stats, and he did what he did.
Absolutely. To me, he reminds me of a wildling from Game of Thrones. He looks a lot like a wildling. I don't know if anybody else has made that comparison.
I assume more people understand your comparison to Game of Thrones than understand most of my sports comparisons.
Yeah,
but
I think that's like my second or third pop culture reference tonight, too. So I'm on a roll, man.
You're killing it.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of going to Chavez Ravine and seeing a couple Dodgers games a couple months ago. And in one of the games, they were down 5-2 going into the bottom of the ninth. Bellinger had already hit a home run a little bit earlier in that game, and it was only a week or two after his debut. And going into the bottom of the ninth, they hit back-to-back-to-back home runs to tie the game.
Wow.
And Turner hit the tying home run. And, man, they're another really fun team to watch. They're one of those teams that they just find ways to win. You hear that a lot, and they just win when they shouldn't.
Being a coach, I've seen teams get down and find things to whine about. Umpires almost exclusively, or the other team or whatever. And the teams that end up winning games they shouldn't, like you said, are teams that find ways to win. They're the ones that don't get down, and they somehow can find that sliver of light and crawl into the lead somehow, even though they're not supposed to and the odds are against them. So who's the best player in this series, do you think?
The best player?
I'm looking at Altuve.
Yeah, that's what I got to go with Altuve. You know, he struggled a little bit early on in the ALCS.
But he's hitting like 400 in
exactly.
the playoffs.
I say struggle. I mean, for Altuve standards, he struggled. For average player standards, he played great. And then he came in the back half of the ALCS and almost single-handedly beat the Yankees. He finds a way to hit any pitch almost anywhere he wants onto the field. He is one of the most pure, best hitters I've ever seen.
Even though he's only 3.5 foot tall, he is hitting .381 in the postseason. He hit .346 this regular season. Had 24 home runs in 153 games. So I don't want to do math, but in 12 postseason games, he has 5 home runs. That is a much higher clip. He is one of only 2 Astros to ever have 5 or more home runs in the playoffs, the other being Carlos Beltran, who, as part of that Killer Bees 2005 squad, reached the World Series with the Astros. So I see your Altuve. You know, he may very well end up being the MVP of the American League, but I think Puig might be the best player in this series. The Dodgers have so many good players. They've got Seager, they've got Kike Hernandez, they've got Puig. You can just go through their lineup and name them all, and they're good. They've got good guys on the bench. They've got Andre Ethier platooning right now. And yeah, Houston is young, and they're also good. They've got a hired hand like Josh Reddick and Brian McCann, but then they've also got Carlos Correa, who is the next Alex Rodriguez without steroids, George Springer, Alex Bregman. They've got a fantastic lineup. But Puig has put himself on a pedestal this postseason. He's really what we know and love Puig for is the antics, the bat flipping on a double, the being weird and wagging his tongue. But he has cut down swinging at wild pitches. He has only swung at one of the 35 first pitches of an at bat that he's seen this postseason. In 9 games, he's hitting .387, so that's a little better than Jose Altuve. And only the one home run, his power numbers are a little down, but he's not called upon to be the power guy in that lineup. That's more of a Turner or a Bellinger. Puig, he is hitting cleanup, so I'm completely wrong there. But I think Puig, at this point in his career, at this point in the playoffs, he is the hottest player stepping up to the plate right now, and Dallas Keuchel, whoever Houston is throwing, has got to be careful when they're throwing to Puig. The back end of that lineup is younger, Forsyth, Seager, Barnes, but the top of that lineup with Turner, Bellinger, and Puig right in the middle is going to be tough to get out all series. So, all right, Taylor, let's talk Yankees a little more. Next year, what is an acquisition you would like? So, let's say, the Dodgers go on to win this series. The Astros are crippled. They lose Verlander to wherever Kate Upton wants to go next and can't keep all their young guys. So the AL is wide open next year, and you've just got to beat the Indians again, but you've already done that once. Who do you want to see the Yankees go out and get as far as a free agent that you want as part of the Yankees?
I would love to see them get a Verlander-type pitcher. I thought that move by Houston is really what has propelled them to the World Series. He pitched great in the regular season. He's pitched even better in the postseason. And kind of like we discussed earlier, there really aren't that many holes in the Yankees lineup right now in terms of the offense and the position players. But pitching is where they're going to need to really improve themselves going into next year if they want to have as much success as they did last year. Like we talked about, pitching's getting a little old. And that doesn't mean they can't add another older pitcher to the roster, kind of like the Astros did. But I think that's the position they're going to have to address.
And there are very few Verlanders out there right now. You know, he may be the only one that they can go get. All right, we're going to take our last break and then come back with a little more, you know, numbers, news, jazz, blues, a little bit of sports numbers, news, nonsense. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene here on 89.5. And Taylor Palmer's on the scene. You know I hold no prejudices here on the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene, and that means I'm gonna play Kelly Clarkson back to back with some Pantera. It was requested by Taylor Palmer, so I'm making it happen. All right, Taylor, some final thoughts on the Major League Baseball season. What you saw, what you would like to see. His air guitar and his little heart out.
I hit a real nasty air guitar pinch harmonic there that you listeners at home could not, unfortunately, see.
That's okay. I'm sure they heard it. You know, through the airwaves, I'm sure they felt that air guitar solo. So, tell me, what are your impressions on the Major League Baseball season? What is this World Series going to come down to? Two-part question.
Man, that's a broad question there, bud. Major League Baseball in general, I think baseball's in a good place right now. I think baseball's actually coming back in a sense. It's becoming a more exciting and watchable sport. You know, they've been doing a lot of work on improving the time of game. because, you know, baseball is always prone to these really long 4 to 5 hour games that just drag on. And then by like the sixth inning, you know, everybody's zoned it out. And then some people come back to the ninth inning. But I think they've done a good job of making it a little bit more exciting.
And then the World Series. What's the key to the World Series?
Key to the World Series in terms of success?
Yes.
What's the key to winning the World Series?
Other than scoring more runs than the opponent.
Boy, I'll bring it back to the Yankees a little bit. The Yankees' problem, why they, I think, ultimately failed against Houston was because they struck out so much, man. They struck out, I wrote down the stats, game one, 14 Ks, game two, 13 Ks, game three, 6 Ks, game four,
it's a lot. That's
three
a lot
Ks,
of, lot of
13,
strikeouts.
13, 10, 11.
Strikeout less is what I'm hearing from Taylor
Don't
Palmer.
Strike out, put the ball in some play, and you're going to score runs.
Some wise wisdom. I enjoyed having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. It's been the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.5 FM.